Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Goosebumps. Ooh. That put goosebumps on my goosebumps, to borrow a phrase from the Red Sox pregame show there. Subaru, I think, put goosebumps on your
Nissan.
Nissan.
Jesus,
Whatever. There's a lot of cars. That put goosebumps on my goosebumps, that call. That was a great call. It was a great play. A three-run home run in the ninth inning there. It was part of the rally. They got four in the ninth. And then the game ended on a really awesome double play there with Lindor, too. It was just a tremendous game and a deciding game. It was game three of a best-of-five series there, and it was the Mets who come away with it. Sorry, best-of-three series. And the Mets come away with a 4-2 win. They advance. The only series that wasn't a sweep. And I was listening to that call, and I heard people talking about it today. And it was just—it was such a great call. It was so much fun, and it made me feel bad about Joe Castiglione. I wish he was still making calls, and I wish that there was still like a moment for him. Not like that win at the end of the season, because that win didn't mean anything, but like another moment, you know, another moment where you get to get that classic Castiglione when he's excited, when a walk-off win, something like that. And there were a few of them over the course of this season, but it was just such a disappointment in the second half that, I don't know. I mean, the more I think about it, and the more I think of the Red Sox and how close they were to really competing for that wild card, you're right. Maybe they wouldn't have been a World Series contender, but wouldn't you love to at least have them have the possibility for a moment like that last night? Shouldn't that have been what the Red Sox were doing right now instead of being on vacation, or Kenley Jansen was on vacation a week ago, or any of that stuff? You know, like, this is where they should be. They should be with the Mets and with these other teams.
And speculative rumor, the guy who hit the home run, Pete Alonso, could have been a Red Sox.
Right.
Remember there was talk of him coming to Boston?
Yeah, I was into that, by the way.
He was the right, me too, that he was the right-handed bat they might acquire, and instead you got Danny Jansen, and, you know, well, you didn't make the playoffs.
That was the best sports moment of my entire life, guys.
Really?
Wow.
Whole life, wow. Huh?
Wow. I mean, I'm young, so I wasn't really that sentient in 2015, so I've never seen the Mets win anything, and that was a special, special game for me.
Wow.
Jacob's had a glow about him all day.
I can tell.
All day.
It's the highlight of his life. That's pretty cool. No, it's a cool moment, and that has been absent from Boston from the fall for a while now. And that's what you're talking about there, winning playoff series and just competing and having that buzz and having that energy and that idea that you're in the mix with teams like, oh, I don't know. It's funny, the Phillies are in the mix. Who runs that franchise? Oh, yeah, Dave Dombrowski. Yeah, damnedest thing.
Good point.
We used to have a guy like that. And you look at the Dodgers. Remember when we were supposed to be the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we hired Bloom and it was like, well, we're going to be like the Dodgers because you're blending the Tampa way with the Boston market. And that petered out. Now, freaking, we never even talked about this. You see Bloom's back?
Yeah.
He's running the Cardinals as of, what, mid-next season? There was some weird transition of
power.
They
brought him in
on
there as a assistant to the guy or whatever, and now he's going to be the main guy in charge there. And Terry Francona's managing again. He's going to be managing the Reds. This is weird, all these ex-Red Sox people. Francona in particular, because I thought he retired for health reasons and stuff, but he's coming right back out. He's all set. And Chaim Bloom, who, listen, the Cardinals didn't have a great season or anything, but they clearly see something in him. They like something about what he's doing, and you know, I think time is gonna be more kind to Chaim Bloom here, I think, as things go on and these prospects that he coveted so much and kind of hoarded over the years are going to develop. I think people are going to look back at that and be like, all right, Chaim Bloom wasn't so bad. Kind of the same thing with Ben Cherington, although Cherington won a World Series, so he had that too. But I think with Bloom, there's going to be hindsight's going to be good for him. I think history is going to be kind to him.
Is history going to improve the return for Mookie Betts at some point?
No, but I don't necessarily consider that a Chaim Bloom problem. I consider that a John Henry problem, having to trade the guy in the first place.
Have to trade him, get something for him.
I'm not sure there were a lot of better offers out there. You know?
Mookie Betts?
No, I don't think
so. You couldn't get anything?
It was a half a season, and you got a major league-ready outfielder and two prospects. That's about what you'd get anywhere. I don't think that there were a lot of teams that had better offers out there than that. I don't think Bloom was inundated with all. It was a half season. I mean, that was all you're going to get. It's not like you extended him. The Dodgers ended up extending him. And by the way, tasking a guy his very first day on the job, here's what we want you to do. The first thing is trade our best player. Go out there, have fun, good luck. And by the way, he's got no terms, so you're just going to be selling him as a rental, and everyone's going to think you're getting pennies on the dollar. Like, I thought Bloom kind of got porked over in that whole situation, personally.
Well, he took the job.
I know.
That was the job, right? Like that. I'm assuming he came in eyes wide open.
I think
as
so.
To what the order of operations were going to be for him.
I don't know if they can. They told him in the job interview, by the way, we're going to have you trade Mookie Betts. Like, I don't know if that was
no,
part of it.
No, but they might have been, maybe it was. Know, you're going to have to make some tough decisions and do some tough things here with the roster and our financial limitations. I'm sure he knew what he was doing. I don't think he maximized that, and I will not look back fondly. Plus, isn't that Marcel Mayer? Like, he now, I don't even know what he is. What do we make of him?
Mayer, Campbell is a Bloom guy. I mean, there's other ones.
Marcelo Mayer was supposed to be, he was the guy for a while. He was going to be some combination of Bonds, Otani, Trout, and Jeter. Like, mm-hmm. he was supposed to be the be-all, end-all, was supposed to be the number one pick. Oh, he fell to you at four. It's greatest thing ever. And I'm not even sure he's going to be here next year. I think people, if he wasn't injured, if he didn't have a back injury, I think he would probably be on the trade market right now with Tyquan Thornton.
Maybe. He might be. Christian Campbell... the Kyle Teal was taken fourth overall. He's a Bloom guy too. Mayer, as you mentioned, Nick York, Mikey Romero, you know, there's some other guy, Roman Anthony. These are Bloom guys, and these are all guys who a lot is expected of. So that's sort of what I mean. Like, are you going to look back at the Bloom years and be like, oh, they were so good? That's not what I mean. Like, people are going to look back at Bloom and be like, maybe he wasn't so bad. Look at these guys that he held on to. Look at these guys that he drafted and brought up, and now they're big contributors on the major league level. And they may end up all sucking. Like, who knows? I'm just saying.
No.
There's a chance that, I think, anyway, if any of them are good, or if even like a handful of them are good, then people will look back at Bloom a little bit differently. Maybe not Allison in Cambridge, though, as she's on the line right now. Go ahead, Allison.
No, I'm just so furious about that statement. Ty Bloom seemed like a nice guy, but he totally broke things. That he could have, oh my God. So if he, I don't even know where to begin. So first of all, if Dave Dombrowski was still here, the people who were already here, Duran and Tristan Casas, are three pitchers, Brayan, Tanner, and Cutter, mm-hmm. are all Dave Dombrowski. So the people that are already here are Dave Dombrowski's. If you're going to credit Heim for people in the farm system that he refused to trade to other people, then he should have been the head of scouting and not a major league team. And what I would have liked to have seen is that he also created a very flawed team. One thing with Detroit, everyone was like, well, we could be Detroit. No, we couldn't be Detroit. They have an ace in Scooper, which is so much better than the three pitchers we have.
I agree.
They have balance of left and right, left and right bats. They have great defense. We don't have Heim, didn't value that everything was out of. But I would have loved to have seen Dave Dombrowski. He probably would have traded some of his own people and gotten like better people and had us actually win. Heim also, he could have, he was his own worst enemy. I can't. It's so much like what Bill Belichick did to our offense, because Bill Belichick could have slightly done some different things.
All right, well, hold on. Let's stay on topic here. Why was Bloom his own worst enemy? Why? What did he do that was so bad? I feel like he was under strict limitation. Hold on, Allison, please. Just one second. I feel like he was under very strict parameters and wasn't given the freedom to go out and spend like Dombrowski was.
Within his parameters, Christian, please. Within his parameters, the fact is, in 2021, when he got Kyle Schwarber, he only picked him up because he was injured. We didn't have him for 3 weeks.
And that was a good little move. Wasn't it?
It was, but then he should have kept him. When he found someone who worked here, he should have kept him. And as everyone said at the time, we knew he wasn't going to keep J.D. Martinez, and then Kyle Schwarber would have been our DH, and that would have been a place for him.
I agree. I would have liked him to keep Kyle Schwarber. We're up against the clock, Allison. Thanks for the call. Call back anytime. And I appreciate the passion. I just don't think Heim Bloom. I mean, him getting Kyle Schwarber, I thought was a good move. Not re-signing Schwarber, I thought, was a result of them not wanting to spend any money. Like, that was the problem. And those parameters, I mean, Sam Kennedy said as much. You got a new guy in here right now, and Craig Breslow was under the same parameters that Heim Bloom was, and the same problems are arising, aren't they? I know, Andy, you think that they're going to spend this offseason. I'll believe it when I see it. It's been 4 or 5 years now with Bloom, and now another one here with Breslow, where they've been operating and moving the exact same way. And I don't blame Heim Bloom for that. I don't. I blame ownership.
Yeah, ownership is absolutely to blame for the Heim Bloom era. I agree with that. And I would dream of the day that you're talking about, because we do this all the time. Who gets credit for success, right? Bill Belichick was helped a lot by Bill Parcells' players. Oftentimes when you win titles, the prior regime or GM laid a foundation, because no one's all that bad. Maybe Matt Millen in Detroit, but very few people give you nothing to build on, give you nothing. Like Gerard Mayo, we're going to say, well, he re-signed all of Bill Belichick's players. So if they find success, people are going to say some of it was with Belichick, and they're going to do the same thing with Bloom if these young players come up. But the reality is, I still think he was a bit of a black hole in the front office for the Red Sox.
I think he was an easy scapegoat, and we'll see what ends up happening here. We'll see what he does with St. Louis, but I think that ownership was a bigger problem than Bloom was. Good call there, Allison. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll revisit something Greg Bedard said on his podcast with Nick Cattles over at CLNS Media. We got our recap of Thursday Night Football and picks for Week 5 all coming your way in the final hour of WEEI Afternoons right after this.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com